Get all harnessed up here. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God for this morning. His mighty power. That thing stays there. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Great to know the Lord and the power of His resurrection. Thank God for everything He does, everything He has done, is doing, and going to do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to be here, Sister Meyer, and the saints of God and the church. And I just want to leave something with you. I feel the Lord spoke to me a couple days ago about the service. And I won't be able to finish this morning, so I'll try to do half of it. Finish the other half, Brother Tim, maybe Wednesday night, good Lord willing. But very, very important in this hour that we understand where we're at and understand where we're going. They're doing everything they can to destroy this nation, that's for sure. And if the Lord hadn't held it back, we'd have been under dictatorship a long time ago. But God just held it back so far, and I'm glad that He has. But the scripture said in Revelation 17:17, where God have put it in their hearts to fulfill whose will? Not ours, His will. Not the Illuminati's, His will. And that it said that they should agree. He's talking about the 10 beasts, if you read above that, which is bringing in a world system throughout all the nations of earth. But it went on to say that the words of God shall be fulfilled. So I'm glad the word of God's going to be fulfilled. But the Lord has a plan for the church in the midst of all the problems. Amen. I'm going to begin reading this morning. Got to hurry through this. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, and then Hebrews 10:22, if you have your Bibles and want to turn to that quickly. But really miss Elder Meyer. Him and I were close friends. I really loved him. Loved Sister Meyer and their family. And I'll tell you what, it's just an honor to be here, and I appreciate it. The chance to even get to be here again with y'all. Been a little while. But I believe God's going to move for us this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's going to confirm His word. I preach that everywhere I go, and I stand on it and seen God do it. We've seen the miracles. We've seen healings and just all kinds of great things from the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, the book said in Hebrews 2:4, that He would confirm this word both with signs, wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to, again, whose? His own will, not ours. Praise God. But if our will, amen, gets in line with His will, it'll be all right. 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Amen. So let's read these scriptures very quickly. In Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now think about what it said. And we desire that every one of you, not part of us, all of us, the church, do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In conjunction with that, Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now think about that. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. But what I want to focus on is the word assurance in both scriptures. To the full assurance of hope and then in full assurance of faith. But I want to talk about our assurance policy. Now I'm going to go to Psalms 91. And cover part of that, like I said this morning, and good Lord willing, the rest, the next service that we are here. But this is very, very, I feel, important, because the things that are happening around us, and believe me, there's a lot going on in every manner that they can pull off, so to speak, to just destroy every bit of freedom that we ever had. But no matter what happens around us, the Word of God stands sure. Amen. So I'm going to try to stay with the book, aren't you? Stay with His promises. Amen. So let's talk about our assurance of faith. Going to go to Psalms 91 and read a few scriptures here this morning. But first, let me give the definition of assurance. You know, this is a lot better than insurance. America's insurance poor. Insurance on this, insurance on that, insurance on everything you can think of, and then some. But I like the assurance policy. Amen. And that is, you know, if you're going to have insurance, you're going to have a policy. Oh, they can do anything they want to. They're going to have to stay with the agreement of that policy if they give you the policy, which they do if you have an insurance company that's reliable or reputable. Amen. But I'm going to talk about our assurance policy. Praise God. Okay, what's assurance mean? It means secure, make certain, tell positively, give confidence. It's trustworthy. A pledge or promise. Remember 2 Peter 1:4, call them his exceeding great and precious promises. There are a lot of promises in the Bible I don't want. If you don't believe that, read the latter part of Deuteronomy chapter 28. You'll find the curses. And then we're promises. They're not the ones I want. That's why Brother Peter called them his precious, exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. So our assurance policy is a promise to you and I. And assurance also means this, guaranteed or certain, to insure against loss, one who makes himself responsible for the obligations of another. This is all broken down in the definition. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting how much? All your care upon him, for he careth for you. So let's go into Psalms 91 and talk about our assurance policy. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I have mentioned this here before, I believe, that when I received the Holy Ghost, Psalms 91 became the most powerful chapter of the Bible in my life. And I began to apply it, and I didn't know anything about the Bible because I'd never read a Bible, never been in church, never been around a church. And for 31 years, I was 31 years old when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, got baptized in the great name of Jesus Christ. But for some reason, Psalms 91 just stood out above everything else in the scripture to me. And that doesn't do away with the book of Acts. When one gets born again, they don't need to jump over to Revelation. They first need to read the book of Acts and kind of get settled in their hearts what the plan of salvation and what God is doing in the church is all about. Amen. But you know, Bob Harrington, Bob the Baptist years ago, he was famous when I got the Holy Ghost latter part of 67. And he told them, he said, when you get saved, he called it, you get converted, stay out of Revelation, stay out of Revelation. Praise God. But for some reason, new converts went ahead for Revelation. But the apostolics, the one God people, the book of Acts is first. But as I said, for some reason, and I'm thankful for it because I have seen the miracles from Psalms 91 through all my life, beginning in my early years of living for God. And I told him here a while back, preaching in a church over in Ohio just 3 weeks ago, whatever it's been, and just came to him and I was preaching. I said, fact is, be good if y'all every morning when you wake up, quote Psalms 91 or read Psalms 91. Better than that, memorize it and quote it first thing of the morning, because that'll make your day probably a lot better for you. Amen. Because his exceeding great and precious promises are compacted together in Psalms 91. Our assurance policy. Now, an insurance policy, like you said, they'll have it all written out, typed out, and the agreement of whatever it's supposed to be and whatever you're getting and not getting and all that. But here is our assurance policy, Psalms 91. Notice, he that dwelleth, ETH is continuation of. You know, in today and out tomorrow, back to the next week and back in church the next. He that dwelleth, you're steadfast. Fact is, John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, abide. Not in today and not tomorrow. Abide in me and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Because you and I know the word shall means positively, must be, has to be. So he that dwelleth, he is our continual dwelling place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, God is just waiting and looking for someone to confirm his word and believe it. That he can confirm it in their lives. And let me read this second verse here. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Praise, the Lord. Praise God, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Now think about that for a moment. I will say of the Lord, this is our assurance policy, part of it, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I was driving through Neosho, Missouri years ago, going to a camp meeting. I'd been there before in driving through that town. No big metropolis or anything. It's not a little burg. It's just a medium or close to it town, we'd call it here in America. But I noticed something as I had driven through it. When I began to go out the other side of that that town, I seen, it looked like an excavation crew had been there. I mean, the whole place was cleared off. It used to be a mobile home park and houses and everything. And I thought, whoa, I don't think they're building a big mall in this place. But as I drove on, I found out what had happened. I seen pieces of tin up in the trees twisted in two, and just debris scattered everywhere. There had been a tornado that came through that place. But not until I got to the camp meeting and they were talking about it, did I understand what happened. And there was a one God, Jesus' name, elderly couple. They, in fact, says they were retired. They were living in a mobile home. And when that tornado was heading toward Neosho, of course, the civil defense, the police, whatever, have their loudspeakers driving around telling people to evacuate the area and all of that, because that gigantic tornado was coming directly toward that town. And this elderly couple that had the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, amen, opened the Bible to Psalms 91. And they got down on the living room floor and opened that Bible and began to talk to God. Now, here's this tornado bearing down on that town. And they said, God, if we leave and this our mobile home or our home is destroyed, we're living on fixed income, we're sunk, it's over. And we're believing you by the word of God, by your own word, that you are our refuge and our fortress, our place of security and safety. And we're believing you, amen, not to allow our house, our home, to be torn to shreds by this tornado. The tornado hit that town. Of course, it was black. You can imagine the clouds and the storms and the wind and everything. But when the clouds begin to dissipate, break up, and when the tornado was passed and the sun peeked through them clouds, there was one mobile home standing in that whole area. And the only thing happened was a little crack on the window where something flew and hit it. Amen. As a confirmation that God will confirm His word if you'll now put Him to the test. In Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 10, with tithes and offerings, He said, prove me. Well, we can prove Him on any part of the Bible if we believe it as what He said. You know, faith, bottom line, folks, just simply believing the Word of God for what it says. You have to go to Bible school for 50 years to explain it away, learn how to explain it away. Just believe it like it is. Well, I guess I was simple enough, what do you want to call it? And I got the Holy Ghost, Sister Vicki, just believe it. If I read it, I said, that's it. I claim it. Praise God. And you know what? It works. It's not something that might work, could work. It shall work. Hallelujah. And you talk about storms. We have seen, and I'll not say on this all that long, but there's a couple, three testimonies came to me when I was meditating on this message and putting some things together. And a brother in Trinity Mountain, Alabama. What a place for one God church. Trinity Mountain. Praise God. But this one God church that was there, and I preached in it through the 80s. And this brother that was his Sunday school superintendent at that time. And I remember this going back like 76, 77, somewhere in that period of time. And I don't remember how many tornadoes, folks, hit Alabama at that time, you know, that spring. But it was a great number. I don't even remember of all that was torn up. And there was a gigantic tornado headed right to Trinity Mountain, which would have taken the church. But before the church, where it set up on that hill, that mountain, was his home. And this brother stepped out, and here's the tornado coming, I mean, directly toward him. He stepped out between his home, walked up, you know, between the tornado and his house, which had some land with it. And he began to speak to the Lord, and he spoke to that tornado. And he said, God, if this thing takes my house, we're destroyed. Everything's gone. And in a way, we can replace it. But he said, I command you to change your course in the name of Jesus Christ. That brother told me, because I was there in revival right after that. And he told me, he said, brother, when I spoke that tornado stopped. And he sat there churning for a few moments and said, when it took off, it turned in another direction. Hallelujah. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 said the Lord had his way in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Remember, he's the one controlling everything. And he gave you and I some authority to speak to the mountain, to speak to the problem. Amen. And that's exactly what we need to do in our time of trouble. So we know that different things have happened with the miracles that God's performed for people. Let me give you another couple, speaking of tornadoes, another couple of testimonies. One concerning my son. And one sister that was a wife of a friend of mine through the years, Brother and Sister Gordon, they, I believe, were raised in Illinois, if I'm not mistaken, but they moved to California. He was a computer expert, and believe me, he knew what he was doing and made big money back in those years. Well, her mother and dad were ailing and failing fast. So that was a great sacrifice. He gave up his position in California and moved back to Illinois to take care of her mother and dad. Now, her mother and dad are sinners. They don't go to church. They both of them died lost, sad to say. But this certain day, spring of the year, and they was around Galesburg, Illinois, which is a tornado alley. I believe it's flat country. Tornadoes come through there a lot. So she's in the back seat, Sister Gordon is. And her father's driving, and her mother's sitting, of course, in the passenger side of the front seat. And all at once, they're heading east. And all at once, they see a tornado kind of from the north, heading kind of northwest down toward them. And it looks like a big tornado. Well, they're on a country road, and when they hit the state road, naturally they didn't turn the path of the tornado. Her father turned right, which should have been south. The tornado's coming southwest. And when that tornado hit that state highway, it turned and came right up behind them on that state highway. I mean, it's coming right behind him. Well, he's got the pedal to the metal, but the tornado's gaining on him. And right in the midst of the problems when God speaks to you. I got a message God dealt me about yesterday, and I had never preached or teach it before. Rhema, the spirit word. Rhema means when God speaks to you himself, like spoke to Elijah. And it wasn't recorded in the logos, which is the written word. And it wasn't recorded nowhere. It said one of these days a prophet will be sustained by a bird. It's not there. It was a time of the crisis when God spoke to him. And that's rhema. And you and I need to hear from God in the time of trouble. And that's when he'll speak to us in the time of trouble. Not that he can otherwise. But here's Sister Gordon in the back seat. And she's kind of looking around. Here's that tornado. I mean, coming down the center line of that highway right behind him, gaining on him. And God spoke to her and said the same power that's generating that tornado is in you. She turned by faith, Sister Meyer, pointed out that back window, said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, turn your course. It did about face. Tornadoes don't do U-turns. That one did. And went straight up the center line of that highway the other direction. I was there not long after that, and she showed me the newspaper. The first town it hit, it leveled it. And it stayed on that highway. And the next town, it took about half of it out and left half of it stand before it changed direction. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? The same power, Sister Vicki, that's in us was generating that tornado. Amen. We need to realize that. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the prophecy, you shall receive power when after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We have that power and that authority, but what are we doing with it? If you let it lay dormant, don't ever use it by faith, what good is it? The Bible said in Hebrews 4:2, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If we do not mix faith with the word of God when we hear it, it'll do us no good. Okay, let me tell you about the situation with my son. I may give this testimony when I was here last spring, because this has been, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, February, I believe, when that great tornado leveled their church building. My son, they were in revival. He pastors in Jackson, Tennessee. And if for some reason, Jackson, Tennessee is on God's hit list. They have had terrible tornadoes in the last few years. I mean, some of the worst. And I don't know why. But I mean, it's tore up that city downtown. It tore up housing developments. One of my friends, a brother Benny Daniel, had a new house there at that time a few years ago when that bad one, the first bad one went through there. And it leveled his house. Well, they found one of his checks in Dixon, Tennessee, which is probably, I don't know, 80 or 100 miles from there that tornado carried. Tornadoes can do weird things. in the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, they had this actual, and you've heard of this, you know, happening, and it did. And they had the actual stump of a tree where they'd cut it off and put it, encase it in glass, had a straw completely through that tree trunk, a big tree. A tornado drove a straw completely through it. And that's power. But God said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We have that power. Hallelujah. What did he say in Ephesians 3:20, was it? He talked about the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. And I promise you one thing. We got the power, but is it working in us? That's the question. But God wants us to use it in that time of need. Not just going around doing crazy things, but in the time of need when God speaks to us, Rhema, the voice of God. Well, they didn't know the tornadoes were coming in Jackson, Tennessee that day. But God began to deal with my son. And he called me after all that happened. He said, Daddy, I don't claim to be any supernatural, spiritual, whatever. But he said, God spoke to me. Now, there were storms there, you know, beginning like that afternoon. But so far, I don't think they had any tornado warnings. If they did, there wasn't any signs of no tornadoes that time. And God spoke to him early afternoon. Remember, they were in revival a few nights. And God spoke to him and said for him to dismiss the service that night. Well, you know, he thought, he didn't think about a tornado at that time. Thought, well, maybe, you know, a real bad storm, a lot of wind or hail, who knows? So they begin to call, got his secretary to call, and they begin to call every family, say, we're not having church tonight. Okay, as the afternoon grew late, evening grew near, it got worse and worse and worse. And all at once, the sirens come on, the tornado warning sirens, and there was a tornado coming directly toward Jackson, Tennessee. Well, he, his wife, children, my grandchildren, three of them, and I think it was five other families. Brother Lewis, I don't remember who all it was. Brother Don Lewis was one of them. And what they did, they took refuge in the church building. Okay? Well, they first went into a Sunday school room. And God spoke to my son, you know, and impressed him, this ain't good. So he told them, he said, I don't feel good about this. Let's go into the baptistry. Well, the baptistry is behind the pulpit, which was very secure. The pulpit area, the platform, actually. And it was around, you know, behind here. And underneath, it was built strong. It was up, and underneath there, you could get under there, which they did. They got under the baptistry. And a few moments, he said, I don't feel good about this either. So they ended up in the, I call it pantry, you know, where they stored canned food or whatever. But it was room enough. And what it was under a stairwell that went upstairs and had evangelist quarters and all that upstairs, living quarters. And that's where they went under, and of course, he said, well, I feel good about this. They didn't know what was going to happen. But no sooner they got under there than that tornado hit that church building. Some of you may have seen it on the net, pulled it up. I know different people told me they did. It's been, like I said, about 3 years ago, whatever. And that tornado hit the auditorium. Well, it's a big, big church building, been there for years. One side of it, they had the gymnasium and had a kitchen, you know, the cooking area and all that in that same side. But from the center of this side, the Sunday school rooms, my son's office, of the big auditorium, and that tornado hit the auditorium side. If there had been a revival, there's no telling how many people would have died. That's why I'm telling you, Rhema, it's good to hear from God. We need to hear from God in the time of trouble. Amen. And I repeat what he said. I don't claim to be a spiritual guru, but he said, I believe God spoke. I said, son, I know he spoke to you. Ain't no doubt about that. Amen. But can you imagine what would have happened? Even if he stayed in the Sunday school room, it took that building with it. I mean, if any of you seen the pictures, you know what I'm talking about. But thank God that there's someone that can still hear from the Lord in this hour. Praise God. Amen. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So I'm glad for my assurance policy, aren't you? Amen. It's secure and sure. Amen. It positively will work. And I am so glad of that, I'll tell you. Amen. So let's go on with that. I mean, we've seen the Lord through the years stop snow blizzards traveling. We've seen him change tornado. I was driving at night in Alabama. It just came to me this morning. And there was a tornado that passed over me in my van. That van actually hopped on the road. Because you know what I was claiming, Psalms 91. Praise God. Here my place of security, Lord. I didn't know till the next day when I heard the news of that area that tornado went right over me. right over my van, right on that highway, the interstate. But praise God, he protected me. Amen. He didn't pick it up and take it with it. I promise you, but I'm telling you what, it kind of nerve-wracking there for a few seconds. That van just began to hop on the road. I said, whoa, Lord Jesus, in your name. And then it stopped. Of course, the tornado went over. But I'm just serving a God that tells me everything. If I'll claim it in my assurance policy, it'll work in my life. Amen. And I know one thing. There's times of trouble in our lives that we definitely need the Lord. Definitely need him to work miracles. And I'm talking about instantly, not next week, next month, or next year. But amen, real soon. I mean, like immediately sometimes to get us out of trouble. So, we never know how the Lord will work and how he will do some things. But we do know one thing. If we'll claim and believe our assurance policy, it will happen. Amen. And I'm glad it will, aren't you? Praise God. You remember one time I was preaching here, two, 3 years ago, when that tornado hit? Tore up Waupun. They closed every exit and entrance, every road, remember? Heard the sirens going off right at the end of the preaching. I don't know what was going on. Because it was clear when I drove down here, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. I didn't, And when service is over, if y'all remember, when people opened that door to go out, that downpour rain, it sounded like a hurricane or something. And then by the time, of course, the fellowship, Brother Martin, some of them here after church, and by the time I got in my van, it was clear again. That's really amazing. But I could tell something, wasn't too good, but it didn't block the highway, thank God, going home when it hit 26 and on up to 41 or whatever. But semis were laying over on the sides, the blinkers still going, and trees everywhere. Well, when I got to Brother Hubert's, I had the van. Some of the young people came with me that night, and I had the church van that they had at that time. And, of course, my van was parked under a tree there by the driveway. Well, everything was pretty clear all the way up until I turned off of 41 on County Road J to go back to their house, maybe an eighth of a mile, close to the four lane. And buddy, I seen the power trucks, I should say, power company trucks, and they were trying to put lines. Everything was black when I turned off. And I thought, whoops, and trees. And so when I turned in the driveway, it wasn't hard to tell there'd been a tornado come through there somewhere. And not till a little later did I get the testimony. And, it's amazing how precise God really is. I just stand in awe sometimes and say, wow, Lord, amen, you're awesome. Praise God. But everything was dark. And what happened, they told me, of course, about the time it hit Waupun, it went through up there, or another one did, whatever. And probably more than one tornado that evening. But, right before dark, Jerome, was 20 years old, I believe, at that time, 21, whatever. His son and Brother Hubert standing out front. They seen the tornado coming. And they were standing there in awe. They'd never seen a tornado before. And wow, woo. All at once they said, we better take cover. It's getting close to the house. So, of course, it's a bi-level. Some of you have been in that house. And they went down under in the office, which is like under the top of the house deal, which would probably be secure. But the last thing he said, Brother Hubert said before they went into the house was, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Folks, when that tornado got to their house, it jumped it. It went plumb over, and the neighbors right next to them, the big trees, it took them out. It never touched one tree on Brother Hubert's property. A house across the street took their town car, Lincoln, and picked it up in the air, spun it around, dropped it upside down the highway. I mean, it tore up everything around there, but never touched his house, never touched a tree. I said, that's amazing. And when I went the next morning to my van that was parked under the tree, there was a large limb come from somewhere. It wasn't his tree, somewhere else. And it slid right up to my van and stopped. Almost touched the tire and just stopped. If it had hit that van, there wouldn't have been a van to drive. It would have tore it all to pieces. But I say, Lord, how precise you are. Hallelujah. I'm glad for my assurance policy, aren't you? Amen. That'll work in the time of our trouble. Praise God. I remember Brother Morley's, I'll get off the tornado part of it, but Brother Morley was a missionary years ago, went to Africa. He went over there for one reason, as most missionaries, if they're God called, they are, after souls, to win souls. Well, he was working day and night winning souls. Well, back then, income was hard to come by. And he had just a mere existence of income to live on. So the place that he rented was just like a lean-to, just a part of another shack building, whatever. And where he slept on that little bunk or whatever he slept on, there was a beam across there which held the building together, I'm sure part of the construction of the building. But rats would walk across that at night. And he couldn't sleep for a while because they would jump off and come down on him and begin to eat the flesh. And some of you remember that Brother Verbal Bean, some of you had the prayer album or the book a few years ago. And he told about Brother and Sister Freeman when they were in Africa that they had to makeshift something to protect them because what would happen, these rats had a certain species of rats over there, and what they would do, they'd come in the room when you were sleeping, and of course most people don't sleep with the shoes on, right? And what those rats, the way they're created, they blew their breath on the people's feet, toes, and it numbed them, and they would literally eat their toes off while they were asleep, and they wouldn't even know it till they woke up because the breath of that certain rat numbed their toes. You ought to be thankful we're living in a good nation like America. Even though they're trying to destroy it completely, I still thank God for America, I can tell you that much. Amen, after being a lot of them foreign countries. But Brother Morley, there weren't those type rats that Brother Bean talked about. These were just big old fat rats. And they would walk on that beam, and you know, when they got asleep, they'd jump down and begin to eat their flesh. Well, he couldn't sleep sound. Here two or three nights went by, he didn't even have any sleep. So he did, you know, sometimes we'll let things go, which he did what he should have done at first, and I'm not charging him because you and I are the same way, you know. Instead of praying to God about something, we'll try our way, and then it don't work, we say, okay, God, whatever. But if we went to him first, you know, just tomorrow, everything would have been fine, but that's just the way we do sometimes, isn't it? But so finally he got down before God. I mean, he couldn't even witness in the daytime. He was like a zombie. He said, Lord Jesus, now I come over here to win souls. I've been witnessing all day long. I'm working it like I would a regular job, winning souls. But he said, I've got to have some sleep. He couldn't afford anything different. I mean, he mere income he had, he's doing the best he could. And he said, but I've got to have some rest. I can't take this any longer. I am believing you in the name of Jesus Christ to get rid of those rats. Well, now when you speak that, you don't know how God's going to do it. God just snap his finger and every rat in Africa would die. You know, that type of thing. But he didn't know how he'd do it. Well, that night, time night came, he went to sleep, not a rat. Slept sound, got 8-9 hours sleep, whatever he got, tried to get caught up. And as he was cleaning up and shaving the next morning, he was thinking, he said, you know, I wonder what God did to get rid of those rats. And he heard, meow. And he looked up and a big fat cat tail was switching, hallelujah. And you won't find a fat cat in Africa, I promise you. Amen, or dogs either in foreign countries, just getting them bones. Maybe God just created that one, huh? Who knows? Praise God. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how he does it, just as long as he does it right. I'm glad for my assurance policy, aren't you? Hallelujah. It'll work when everything else is going under. Amen. I hold to it. I claim every exceeding great and precious promise. Let me say a few things here before I go on. I remember revival had in Burris, Louisiana. Burris is on a little strip, if you look at the map. Of course, the typhoons, they call it in the Pacific Ocean, and the hurricanes in the Atlantic, but the same thing. But the hurricanes that has come through that area has devastated. I don't think they tried to build anything down after Katrina, or build anything back, I mean. I don't think they have. I haven't been down there since. Of course, just before Katrina, a few years ago. And we went down there for revival. Well, there's a two-lane road out. You got the Mississippi River one side, the Gulf of Mexico on the other. And you're right out in the middle. Okay? And it's the same road back. It's just a little road that goes out there a few miles from New Orleans. If you look at the map, it's called Burris, Louisiana. And that pastor called me. I don't remember how he even heard about me or anything. And wanted me to come for revival. And I said, well, sure. So we set a date. Now, I'll tell you what, as far as America, in that revival, in the few nights we had revival, I saw more miracles. Now, not the Philippines or Africa, foreign countries. You see a lot more there because them people just believe God. They don't have much of anything to detain them or money or whatever. And you just preach the word of God to them. They believe it and miracles happen. But as far as America, as far as I can recall, I've probably seen more miracles in that week of revival than I have ever seen, I'm saying, in one place or one revival in the United States of America. And the first night, there were like six got the Holy Ghost, the few nights at revival. But the first night, the pastor's daughter, and I didn't know them. I had never met him until I got there, okay? None of them. I didn't know anybody. And his daughter at that time was like 15, 16, I'm guessing the age, a young teenage girl. And when she was born a club foot. Well, they'd taken her to the doctor or whatever, and what they had did, operated and straightened the foot out. But whatever happened in birth, her leg was like just like a straight round stick. In other words, she had no calf in her leg. And she came up that night, and that was her request of prayer. Brother, pray with me, pray for me, that God will build a calf in my leg. Because somehow it must have handicapped her. I don't know what all was going on. But listen, after prayer, by the time she got home, that leg was feeling different. And when she got home, God had created a calf in that leg. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, I love my assurance policy, don't you? Praise God that He is our healer, our miracle worker. Amen. And I'm just saying some names here. They call him Grandpa. That was an elder man in that church. He'd been out, of course, down in Buras, the main income is fishing. Okay, so fishing boats everywhere, commercial fishing is their income. And Grandpa had been out with one of the brothers in the church, and somehow they wrecked the boat. Well, it broke his back. And of course, it never did heal back right. He had to walk with a walker to get around. But that night, or the second night, we was there, whatever it was, first part of that revival, he came up for prayer, and God instantly healed him. He was running around that church. Amen. I mean, instantly. Now, another sister there had a back situation. It was twisted. But God did not instantly, the night we prayed for her, did not instantly heal her. But every night from that, she was getting better. And she was twisted. She was kind of twisted down this way. And every night, she was straightening up more. Every night of that revival, when you seen her, she come in, she's straighter. And by the time it was over, her back was completely healed. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what. I said, boy, this is amazing. Praise God. Makes you want to stay in a place like that the rest of your life. Amen. Seeing God move. Hey, but I'm glad that I know my God is not only a creator, but a recreator. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Not only a creator, but a recreator. I remember Brother Jimmy Russell, and I want to say a few things here on the downside of the message and try to cover the rest, like I said, the next service, Lord willing. One of the last times I was around Brother Jimmy Russell, I don't know if y'all ever heard his tapes. He got a book, The Coal Miner Preacher, which is awesome. And he has tapes like The Miracles of Madisonville. He's in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I became friends of him in the early 70s. So a lot of things he put in the tapes, even in the book, a lot of the miracles, he had already told me about. And so I knew them. It was just confirmation. And when I heard them on tape, I read them in the book. And fact is, he had seen so many miracles and healings in the hospitals that the doctors, if he come in and said, "Doc, I'm going to pray for so-and-so." "Sure, Brother Jimmy." They call him Brother Jimmy, you know, Brother Jimmy Russell. "Sure, Brother Jimmy, go ahead." And I remember one case, and I don't know how she did it, but a young girl swallowed it had to have been a broken hat pin or something. It was a pin, like a straight pin. She swallowed it. Well, the parents rushed her to the hospital, you know, and first thing they did was x-ray her. Okay, then someone in the process called Brother Russell, and he got to the hospital. Well, they'd already x-rayed her and showed the pin, like in the esophagus area, kind of canicorder, I call it, kind of half crossways, stuck right in there. So the doctor said, "Well, only thing we can do is operate, you know, and take it out." Well, Brother Russell said, "Doctor, before you operate, let me go in there and pray for her." "Sure, Brother Jimmy." So he went there and had a prayer meeting. And he come out and he said, "Doc," he said, "x-ray her again. Don't operate, x-ray her again." Because he knew what happened, you know. And the doctor re-x-rayed her. Guess what? Yeah. He finally wrote it off, the case of the missing hat pin. Praise God. Hallelujah. God had dissolved it wherever it went. Thank God. Amen. That's the God I'm serving. But Brother Jimmy Russell's mother, and Brother Jimmy told me this himself. He's only like 6, 7-year-old boy. His mother's dying of tuberculosis. Last stages. Now, you know I'm going back some years because I'm going to talk about a Model A Ford. And that was a car of that hour. So we're going back a few years. And the church, the sisters got together. Of course, Sister Russell's dying. She's now like in a coma, bed, just almost skin and bones. You know, tuberculosis, folks, thank God has been eradicated in America mostly through the years. But even when I was a boy, it was fairly bad sweep in America. And they called it, of course, TB for short. And all of that. But his mother was dying with TB. In other words, going into a coma is over. Parts of natural. And those sisters got in a prayer meeting in that church. They said before the prayer, they said, we got to get a hold of God for Sister Russell. Because she's same as dead. But we don't believe God wants to take her right now. We believe there's work yet for her to do and whatever. And said, we're going to get together and have a prayer meeting. And they did. And so they got in the spirit. They were talking in tongues and shouting. They went out and they got into that Model A, filled it full. The others were standing on the running board. And they took off for Sister Russell's house. Now, Brother Jimmy's father, of course, her husband, was not in church at this time. He's in the room with Sister Russell. She's out, okay? Out like in a coma. And he told me, when that Model A rolled into that yard, them sisters come up, them running board out of that car, dancing and talking in tongues. They hadn't even got to the porch yet. They hadn't even got into the house yet. And Sister Russell come alive. She opened her eyes and sat up. Well, her husband standing there said, Dad, there's angels coming toward me. He looked around and said, I don't see no angels. He said, yeah, here they come. Get out of the way. She jumped out of there shouting. And Brother Jimmy told me, he said, Brother Lance, I was just a little boy. I'll never forget it. The next morning, the door was partly open from my bedroom into the kitchen. And to see my mother in there, baking biscuits and cooking eggs and frying bacon like she'd never been sick a day in her life. Said, that stuck with me all my life. A miracle. Amen. And I know there's healings. It takes, you know, a little period of time or whatever. And then I know there's healing miracles, which happened before a natural healing would ever take place. And that was a miracle healing. Amen. You don't get over something like that just instantly. But when God works a miracle, He works it. Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Hallelujah. He said, the scripture here, our assurance policy said, in Him will I trust. He's my refuge, my fortress. In Him will I trust. I'm glad I'm able to trust in Him to work the impossible. He makes the impossible possible. What we look at is impossible. Amen. Luke 1:37, for with Him nothing shall be impossible. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Amen. We know what it is to see God move in our family. Our children, through the years, you know, and one thing about it, before we got in church, they weren't sick all the time. But they had quite a few problems. But after we got the Holy Ghost, got in church, and the second year we got the Holy Ghost the first week of November of 1967. Well, our children were small. The oldest one was, nine at that time, whatever. And they started a Christian, didn't have a Christian school then, it was already in progress. But they've been praying about a Christian school. And Brother Charlie Wicker came through that July, maybe it was, his summer, I don't remember. And he prophesied and he said, by the time school term starts this fall, you will have a Christian school. And at that moment, there was no hope they could see of even starting one. And guess what happened? Of course, we're going back a few years. The public school, for some reason, God, we know, but I don't know if anyone, I'm sure nobody contacted them. But they gave desks. They gave all the books. They gave everything we needed at that Hickory Hills, Illinois school to start a Christian school that fall. Well, the brother gave the prophecy. When God speaks the prophecy through anybody, it's going to happen. And buddy, it happened. And I said that to say this. All three of my older daughters, and they were, of course, just children then, but all three that next year in that Christian school got the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Praise God. Amen. Now, I tell you what, I appreciate that so much. Amen. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. That we're serving a God of glory. And you know, through the years, you think of the miracles God worked on your children. I remember we had a travel trailer the first 2 years full-time evangelizing. I'm trying to wind this down as soon as I can, but had it parked at a little place called Jack's Creek, Tennessee. There's a One God church there that was our, really, we met a home church for, I don't know, a year or two, whatever it was. But Noel Daniel pastored at that time. We had the travel trailer parked by the Christian school building. Well, Kim, my youngest daughter, baby daughter, was only in the first grade or whatever then. So she's very small, you know. Well, I was preaching revival in Dyersburg, so I would drive back and forth. Dyersburg wasn't that far from Jack's Creek. Maybe 20 miles, I don't remember. It wasn't all that far. So I was preaching every night revival and driving back. Well, I happened to be there at noonday, and the Christian school, they didn't pack a lunch or whatever. They fixed lunch for them. You know what I mean? At the school building. But I'm there, you know, at the trailer, and my little daughter, Kim, comes to the trailer. I said, well, Kim, what are you doing coming home? She said, Sis Dodie sent me home. That was her teacher. I said, well, why did she send you home? She said, I had the mumps. I looked at Kim, and there were two knots here. And I said, well, Kim, who are we going to believe, Sister Dodie or Jesus Christ? Now, she, just a little girl, said, well, Jesus. I said, right. I got that all, laid hands on her, in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, go back to school. The time she walked back, got in that classroom, folks, both knots were gone. I never claimed them. I didn't say, oh, God, you have got mumps, we're in trouble. That's the trouble. People look at circumstances and give in to them, and what happens? According to your faith, be it unto you. Matthew 9:29, right? Amen. But I didn't say she had the mumps. How do I know? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physician. I'm not a professional physician. Oh, they looked like it. How did anybody know what they were? Whatever they were, they left. That's all I know. Amen. But I know one thing. I'm glad I have an assurance policy. Assurance policy. Amen. Assurance policy. I'm glad it's a lot better than insurance policies, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Let me read another scripture and I'll get it down on the downside here. Psalms 91:3, and probably the last one I'll read, and maybe one more. Hear, however, Lord leads, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. You know what surely means? Positively. Positively he shall. Shall means positively, must be, has to be. Deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What's noisome pestilence? Raging epidemic. That's what the reference to this Bible said. Also, noisome pestilence means harmful, or just pestilence means harmful, injurious, deadly. Of the AIDS virus, the anthrax, bubonic plague, whatever you could name. The spraying of the skies that we know has been going on for a while. One of the main ingredients is a carcinogen which causes cancer. It's called ethylene dibromide. One of the main ingredients that they spray over people almost every day. It's sad, isn't it? Amen, them chemtrails. But thank God we have an assurance policy. And I claim it. I remember the first time I'd heard this, Steve Quayle on the radio, and had a couple tapes. This like 98, somewhere back in there. I'd never heard of chemtrails. And this just when they started spraying, really. Hadn't been spraying that long. And I listened to them tapes, and I said, whoa. So I'm driving from Bradford, Tennessee, from a revival going to Fulton, Kentucky, up through that direction. And I wasn't even thinking about chemtrails. And the Lord just impressed me to look up. And, of course, I'm driving the van, you know, and I looked out at the side, looked up. Whoa. There were chemtrails, I mean, all over that sky. Well, I had my camera I used to carry with me, and I pulled over the van and I went to step out, and I said, God, I claim Psalms 91. And I took pictures of them, which I still have, began to show people, and took pictures of chemtrails. And, of course, before I stepped out of the van, I said, I claim Psalms 91. Hallelujah. And took those pictures. But it's terrible. You know, I have a tape at home that tells all the information. When they started this in England, I'm talking about the chemical spraying, the chemtrails. And when they first started releasing those chemtrails, I got the percentage there of the people that died. And the other ones that died were those that had, were up in age, the elder, or those that had maybe some kind of a light sickness or something else that they didn't have a good resistance, you know what I mean? And it began to kill them like flies. Well, like anything else, people begin to build up a resistance against whatever it is. Might make them sick, but in a little while it doesn't really kill them, not instantly, but it will kill them in time, of course. So our only hope, folks, I mean, we're a victim of circumstances in this nation. All your food's poisoned, Everybody can't afford to eat organic food, especially you're raising a family. Well, I'm serious. We're just in the midst of a mess in this country. They deliberately poison the food, deliberately load it with fat, so they can make the trillions of dollars off of operations and heart operations. You know the rat race we're in. Amen. So all we can do is do the best we can. And I tried not to eat junk food. I hadn't for years, you know, try to not eat a lot of things that most people, I guess, probably would eat, just loaded with junk. But still, you know, our food sometimes is it's not too good. But all we can do through all that is just by faith claim our assurance policy. Okay, Lord, I'm just doing this by faith, because really in the natural there's not much I can do about some certain things. But I do know one thing. I believe the Word of God, and I believe it's right, and I know one thing. It works. Hallelujah. It really works. You know, let me say something here, and I'll read a little bit more here, but I remember the second revival we had in Independence, Missouri. We was having an awesome revival. People getting the Holy Ghost, repenting, and getting healed and miracles. And right in the midst of it. Right in the midst of it. I don't know why. I don't know why they did it. But a sinner boy, a sinner family's boy, I should say, and one of our church family's little boys, like 7, 8 years old, were out playing together, which they'd played together, I guess, you know, off and on all the time. And for whatever reason, that boy, the sinner family's boy, took a container of gasoline and poured it on the other boy and then struck a match to him. Well, I had a travel trailer at that time, and the children were small, of course, and all. And they got word to us that this boy has been burnt really bad. Well, back in those days, the churches like that I preached in totally trusted God for healing and everything. And what they would do when a crisis took place, they would take off their jobs, work, business. I know some you couldn't take off, but if you could, and a lot of them could, they clocked out, whatever, and they came, and they gathered in that church and prayed. Let me tell you, that boy, I don't know the difference in degrees of burns, but he was burned. It burned his clothing into his little body. You can imagine. Well, when we gathered around, got there, and when we prayed, God instantly took the pain. He never cried anymore. Amen. God touched him with a miracle. Each day that went by, those burns, of course, they got everything fixed, and those burns would scab and fall off. And by the time we left, he was back to normal. And we left our part of that revival. Every bit of that, the burnt skin, the scabs had fallen off, and his whole body was brand new. Amen. I'll tell you what, those miracles, I remember. They'll stick with you for life. When you see, you hear about them, hear people talk about them. Amen. But when you witness these yourself, you say, wow, I'm serving an awesome God. I am glad I have an assurance policy. Hallelujah. Amen. And a God that we can trust Him, because He is our assurance policy. He said, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. It's the devil's business to cause trouble. You know that. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal our victory, kill our faith, and destroy our walk with God if we'd let Him. But I refuse to let Him. He don't have the say-so. My Heavenly Father does. Amen. Not only that, He doesn't have the say-so. We do. He gave us power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 said it. That was before they received the Holy Ghost, folks. How much greater do we have with the Holy Ghost? Jesus said from His own body, Him being God manifest in the human body, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wasn't that what He said? Promised? That's a part of our assurance policy, folks. It fits right into it. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm not with the help and grace and mercy of God. Believe me, I'm no hero. I'm no different than nobody else. We all have our trying times or whatever. But I'm telling you, I don't have all the faith in the world. I'm contending for more faith. Jude 3 said, every day I live. But the thing of it is, I refuse to give in to the stinking devil. Amen. I refuse to listen to his tactics. You hear me? We have better than that. We have great. I repeat, that dude's not in control. Jesus Christ is. And Colossians 1:27 said, this is a mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, us, the hope of glory. So Christ in us is the majority. Hallelujah. I like what one preacher said years ago. He said, let me tell you something. What happens here? When I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus Christ, when I pray and I say, devil, get your filthy hands off of them, my heavenly Father, Jesus says, you heard what he said, devil, get going. Praise God. That put it pretty good, didn't it? Amen. So my heavenly Father's at authority. And I'm glad if we're in his stead, in his kingdom, amen, we are in authority. Praise God over all the power of the enemy, every imp, every devil, everything. Let me read one more scripture and winding it down. And Lord willing, I'll continue. Lord willing. We got to say Lord willing. A lot of people says, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll go here and I'll go there. It wasn't what James said. Said, don't say you're going to go in that city tomorrow or whatever and get gain. Said, if the Lord wills. Lord willing. Reminds me of the story. This fellow was leading a cow. Come by this one fellow, and the fellow said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go sell this cow. It's my cow. He said, that's fine, but you mean you're going to go sell her, Lord willing? He said, Lord, don't have anything to do with it. I didn't steal it. It's mine. I own the cow, my cow. I can do what I want to. I'm going to go sell the cow. Well, he left this guy. The guy stayed in the same place there, what he was doing. And a little ways down the road, the thieves jumped him, beat him half to death, and stole the cow. So he's coming back the same way, hobbling, all eye black and face bruised and, you know, moping along. That guy said, whoa, what happened? He said, man, after I left you, stinking thieves hit me down there, beat me up, stole that cow. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go home, Lord willing. Change his tune, didn't he? Praise God. So Lord willing, I want to finish this message the next service. But let me read verse 4 in the wind down today. He shall. Boy, he has that word shall all through our assurance policy. We'll pick that up in the latter part of the scriptures of Psalms 91. Shall. I shall be with him in trouble. He shall call upon me. Shall answer. I mean, I like that word shall because it means positively must be, has to be. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I remember Brother Sojourner. He was kind of a cut up. Pastored in the 70s in Jasper, Texas. Again, I don't know how I met him, through somebody, and he wanted me to come for revival, and we became good friends. And this guy was awesome, but he was a cut up. So one day, the woodpeckers knocked on his door, the JWs. Well, he goes to the door, you know, and acts plumb innocent and lets them come in, and they start, you know, with the little green books. The first thing they'll say, you know, there's no such place as a literal burning hell, you know, that hell's the grave, and just on and on. And so he just listens. He acts plumb stupid. So they go through their spiel. And after they're going through all this, Brother Sojourner says, okay, let me get this straight. you're telling me that you don't believe in a Trinity. Oh, no, but you believe in two gods. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you say just take the Word of God literal for what it says. That's right, just what it says. Just take it literal. Okay, let me ask you a question. Now, if Jesus and God are two separate beings or persons, now the Bible does give us a little description of what Jesus looks like. But what does God look like? Why are you going to say, well, God looks like? He's invisible. No man's seen God at any time. He's a spirit, right? But they, you know, he said, well, what's God look like? Now, I am. They know what God looked like. He said, okay, I'll answer for you. I'll tell you. He said, just take it literal. I'll tell you what God looks like. He looks like a chicken. A chicken? He said, yeah. Read Psalms 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Well, they was closing them green books, and they got out of there. This guy's crazy. Hallelujah. Take anybody at their own word. They's the one that said it. Just take everything literal. What God is saying, referring to a fowl that protects her little bitties. Amen. Again, a good example I give of that, Brother Russell told again when he was a boy. Electrical storm came up real quick. This setting hen had hatched out a little bitties and said, you know, because I was raised on a farm in South Central Indiana, and we raised chickens, guineas, ducks, better than geese, anything you can think of, I guess, but on the fowl part of it, and rabbits and horses and pigs and cows, chickens, everything. But I know what he was referring to. Because if you ever notice that hen with them little bit, she'll give a certain sound and raise her wings. They'll come in under her. And she'll go down over them to protect them. You all know what I'm talking about. Okay, this electrical storm came up so quick that chickens didn't have time to get in the chicken house. I mean, it just, the bottom dropped out. Well, that hen gave that cluck, certain cluck she's got. Well, here come all the biddies. Well, she just raised up and put them under her. And he said he was watching this from the house. About that time, a flash of lightning, boom, killed that hen. He said after the storm was over, they went out. And of course, she's cold now with the rain and all that. No time the storm subsided. And said, pick that hen up. Every little bitty ran out just safe as it could be. Hallelujah. Now that hen gave her life, literally, for those little babies. But that's what God's trying to tell us. Hey, as that hen or whatever fowl you might look at protects those little bitties, that's the way I'm protecting you. Hallelujah. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. I am so glad that he covers me with his feathers. Amen, so to speak, figuratively speaking. Hallelujah, because he don't look like no chicken, does he? I imagine that left a depression in J.W.'s minds the rest of their life. This guy's crazy. Tell everybody, don't go back to that house. Praise God. Well, I'm glad that I have an assurance policy, folks. Amen. Assurance policy that's complete, positive, that works. That his truth, thanks God for the truth. Amen. True repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. Amen. A wholeness of living, wholeness of dressing. Separation from the world. I am glad that God has shown me and told me and had preachers and ministers to teach the truth to me through the years. I sure wouldn't be here today if they hadn't, I promise you. Amen. But I am so thankful. His truth. I'll continue on with this, Lord willing, next service. And let me just say a couple things for a close. But I think about, you know, all the miracles that we have witnessed ourselves, plus others that we've known, of how God has moved for them, and how God has done just so many marvelous things. You know, the part that I never elaborated on, I'm not really going to, but I gave the definition of noisome pestilence. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and surely, positively, from the noisome pestilence. You think about that. You know, you have, like I said, AIDS were created in a laboratory. I think you all know that. Brother Marms brought all that out through the years in the newsletter, if nothing else. And you know what main reason? Depopulation of the world. When the UN Charter was drawn up in the middle 40s, that was one major part of that contract that they drew up. And that was the charter, I might call it, the charter. And that was to depopulize the world. That's why they have done the things they've done to the poor, innocent people in foreign countries. You know how many people died in Rwanda? It was terrible. What, over a million? And it's been slaughtered in a lot of places. They created the famine of India that killed probably millions through the years and other parts of the world. They created it. I'm talking about the world system. You know, but God gave us better than that. He said, surely he shall positively deliver you from what? The noisome pestilence. I repeat, my reference says raging epidemic. Do you believe God can keep us in that time of trouble? I know he can. Amen. Because I've seen him do it different times. Amen. When everything was raging, I've seen God keep us and protect us. You know, let me say a couple things in closing, but we first got the Holy Ghost, like I told you, and I began to study the Word of God, read it, and faithful to church every night, every service. And I count on one hand, have fingers left, the services I was not at church 3.5 years before we come out full-time evangelizing. Time or two probably was a day I had to work over, federal meat inspection. Something happened that delayed me, that kept me there. And I remember one time in my life that I felt I was too sick to come to church. I couldn't even get out of bed. But other than that, you know, we was there. We was faithful. And that's what it's going to take. God honors faithfulness. Amen. We're faithful in our prayer lives. We're faithful in serving him. Faithful in everything. Then God will bless us. Ain't no doubt about it. We're faithful in his word. He's got to bless us. His own word. But I remember, folks, just having the Holy Ghost a little while. And that was just a couple months, in fact, or maybe less than that. Hong Kong flu raged that year. It was killing people all over the world. They always got a different name for the same devil, don't they? But anyway, that year is called Hong Kong flu. Well, like I said, I only had the Holy Ghost a few weeks, but I've been reading Psalms 91 just for some reason right off the bat. And I got up and testified that night. Never forget it. Wintertime, of course. And I said, folks, look, I don't know much about the Word of God. I hadn't had the Holy Ghost very long. But I have read some. I've read Psalms 91. And according to Psalm 91, he said, neither shall any plague come out of thy dwelling. And I said, we'll get to that later. But this just came to me. And I said, I may not know that much, and I don't. But I do know one thing. I know what God said. And we don't have to have any Hong Kong flu. I got through testifying. The pastor got up and he said, okay, church, let's all stand. We all stood. Let's join hands. We're going to rebuke Hong Kong flu. We're going to claim Psalms 91, that nobody in this church get any Hong Kong flu. Folks, there's probably 90 people, including children, whatever, at the church that time, maybe 100, but I know at least 90. The winter passed. We was in Hickory Hills, Illinois, and the mayor of that community died of Hong Kong flu, plus many others. But I'm here as God being a witness. There was not one person from the children to the teenagers, to the middle class, to the extreme elder people. Not one got any case of Hong Kong flu that winter. God honored His word. Amen. Folks, He'll honor His word. If He doesn't, why did that tornado take every mobile home, cleaned it off, and after the storm subsided, one stood there as a memorial that put the Bible on the front room floor of that mobile home and said, God, we're believing Psalms 91. We're believing You protect our substance. God honored it. Let's all stand. I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. God's here to do something for you this morning. We wouldn't want to leave this service with, you know, everything undone. If you need healing, amen, we'll pray for you. If you need a financial blessing, we'll pray for you. It doesn't matter what it is. God wants to confirm this word, both with signs, wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. I'm sure every one of us here today, including myself, we have certain needs. You know, in life, it's just that way. May not be dire, may not be, you know, critical, whatever, but we all have needs. So let's let God meet our needs this morning and fulfill some things in our life because He wants to confirm His word. Mark 16:20 said, they went and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, not against them, with them, confirming the word with signs following. You know, so Brother Tim, it's our obligation, if God called us to preach, the word of God, teach the word of God by His own word, then it's His obligation to confirm it, and He will. Believe me, He will. So as they come back to this pulpit, don't leave here with any need unmet or whatever. I mean, let's just believe God this morning to do what He wants to do in our lives. And believe me, He'll do it. He'll confirm this word. Amen. We can only do so much, but when we can only get to the end of our rope, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Let God just take over and do it, right? Praise God. God bless you. Amen. And I love you all. Lord bless you. Smart. Thank you, brother. Let me probably unhook this, huh?